Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come and worship you. Lord, a day that we get to come and celebrate together. Lord, a community of people who are loving you, are walking towards you. Lord, discovering, realizing that this world was created for more than what we see. Lord, it's created for something valuable, something restoring, something redeeming. Lord, and we not only get to experience it in our world, but we get to look forward to heaven because of it. Lord, I pray this morning as we unpack your word that you would help us understand who Jesus is. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's kind of, you know, come to a Foursquare church, we're going to talk about the Foursquare gospel. We haven't done this. Since I've been here about a little over 5 years, I haven't directly talked about this, but I just got laid on my heart. I think that it's significant that we understand that the Foursquare church isn't about a particular family, although we are a particular family and tribe, but it's about Jesus. It's about who he is. And I just think about it too, is why is it good to repeat things? Why is it good to repeat things? It's because we need to remember good things. We need to remember those things. We need those things to become a part of who we are. We need things to become a habit so that it's something that's just impulse. Just like as you drive a car, you don't have to think, you know, turn on your blinker or shift the gear. It's just automatic. And you can have conversations as those things happen because they become natural. You want those things just like thinking of the airliners. You know, as they try to discover the problems with the 737s, as they've updated them, the kind of issues that they've got a habit of the way of doing things. And it looks like with the new programming and these latest versions that it's contradicting their habits. And so trying to understand it, but habits are really important because they save us. But it's all really good for us to work on repeating good things. It's good to repeat good things. And so I think about, you know, we talk about the gospel, that looking at our little logo, we've talked about the cross. God sent Jesus as our Savior, where we find forgiveness for sin, where we find a recovery of relationship with God. You know, you think about Jesus, that Savior is that bridge. You know, we talk about the way, the truth, and the life. That bridge, or that road, or that path, or that door, that we get to heaven, that we get to relationship with God, and that we get access to eternity. We've talked about Jesus, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, you know, where he pours out his power. He pours out who he is on us. The Holy Spirit empowers the church to continue what Jesus started. You know, I love this statement. It reminds me is that the Christian life isn't just hard. It's impossible. The Christian life is impossible. And that's why God had to send his Holy Spirit to come and live in us and fill us so that we can do the impossible. I think about the younger Scott who thought that he was always right. You know, I remember just the miracle of God's supernatural power for me to articulate, no, I was wrong. And to the point where now, even when I'm like 99, look at that, see even that? I used to be 100% sure I was right. And now I say, you know, I'm even stuff I'm pretty confident with my wife, I say, you know, I'm 99.9%, but let's check it out just in case. You know, because it validates, A, that I'm fallible, and that I'm married to somebody who's really bright and knows what's going on. It's like, you know, I've been wrong before, and I don't want this to be the time again, but I could be. Let's check this out. Those are miracles, you know, just even relationship, of being relationship-focused. You know, I was talking to somebody a few minutes ago in a service about just the miracle of being in a marriage, that God teaches you things about yourself and how to get along, and then you have kids, and then you learn all over again, and by the time they're teenagers, you're on the ground saying, God, help me, give me patience, give me insight to what's going on. But I think as believers, I think about it, it's so critical, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think, show me a believer who's not daily being filled, obedient, and dependent on the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you a believer that is discouraged, inconsistent, offended, unforgiving, and lacking in power to walk out the life that God's called us. It's so critical that we are walking in obedience and being filled by the Holy Spirit. As it really does, it accomplishes the impossible. I just have seen that in so many relationships lately. That you can say something that's true, and they can say, I know. But walking it out is a whole different thing. And we need the Holy Spirit to walk out that impossible, to have power over the enemy, to defeat those strongholds, to defeat those ideas and attitudes that we have. Those things, that's why I like the four square gospel. Really, we talked about just square, meaning balanced and solid. That's something that you can be confident in, something you can come back to again. That we want to have that be a part of who we are as a church, who we are as believers. Today we're going to look at Jesus the healer. And it's symbolized by the cup. The cup of healing. The cup of healing. We're going to unpack this a little bit. But it represents God's power of healing poured out on mankind. We believe that just as Jesus was willing and able to heal people 2,000 years ago, guess what? He's able to do it today. And why do I say that? I say that because of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that healed 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that heals today, is the same Jesus that heals tomorrow. Those are kind of things, and I realize, you know, just I have shared with you as I study the Word, as I get these messages together, just like teachers, if you've ever taught a Sunday school class or prepared something for work or a conference or seminar or how to do a report, who is it that learns the most? The guy, the teacher, the guy putting it on. I'm just like you. I just discovering Jesus all over again as I study just these simple things I could quote way before you guys could. You know, Savior, Healer, baptized with the Holy Spirit, soon to coming King, just like that. But going back in and understanding what that means to me personally. I just thank you, Lord, for who you are. He's not only willing and able to heal those who need healing of our mind, of our body, of our soul, those things that are broken inside of us that we can't understand, those patterns that we keep going back to. We're saying, God, what is wrong with me? How come I keep doing the same dumb thing? Anybody ever do the same dumb thing? A couple of us. If you're not sure if you're doing the same dumb thing, ask your parents or ask your spouse. My wife is genius at correlating stuff. I was like, do you realize that whenever you do this, this happens? I'm like, huh? I was like, you're right. That's amazing. That's just disgusting. I don't like that about me. God, we need you to come and heal our way of thinking through prayer and the anointing of oil by people that are mature and walking in their faith and don't just believe religious stuff, but they believe and have faith in the God who heals. Jesus' healing fulfilled God's promise and plan. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. We talked about the Gospels. It was a story of who Jesus is. That we talked about that when he came and brought in that period of time, that dispensation of the Son. Verse 16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. When Jesus healed, it wasn't just something whimsical of like, hey, that sounds like a fun thing to do. Let me heal some people. It was a fulfillment of God's plan, of his promise. Hey, man, I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send a Messiah that doesn't just show up and die on a cross and rise from the grave. I'm going to send a Messiah who comes and heals people so that you'll understand the completeness of who he is. Jesus' healing proved his authority to forgive sins. The healing of our relationship with God. When we talk about that, that's what forgiveness of sin is. If you want to, that's why you think about people who've been hurt by somebody in a relationship. I'm thinking of like marriage. Maybe there's been a infidelity or words spoken. What is it that keeps them from reconciling, right? What is definition of divorce, right? In irreconcilable differences. What that means is unforgiveness. It's like, you hurt me so bad, I am not going to forgive you. Jesus came to forgive our sins so that we can be restored to that relationship. And his healing, the ultimate healing is that forgiveness of sin. The ultimate healing is that restoration and touch on that relationship. What does he say in Matthew 9, verses 2 to 7? He says, which is easier to say, and Jesus is speaking, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. It was a rhetorical question. It's like, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? The answer is, it's words. Words are cheap. Your sins are forgiven, son. I love you. Be well, be filled and well. Words are cheap. Jesus wouldn't say, hey, I want you to know that I got power to forgive sins. So I'm going to heal this guy. Jesus' healing proved that he had the authority to restore relationship with man. And think about it, that's the miracle. Healing people is small, it's child's play for God. It's child's play. It reflects the hugeness of who he is. Jesus' healing is to be pursued both physically and spiritually. James, we're familiar with this passage in chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I think about this recipe of asking for elders to pray. That isn't like the secret recipe. The idea is that you want people who have faith, who have a relationship with God, that understand who God is. That's who you want praying for you. And sometimes it can come from a kid. Because a kid who comes with a faith like a child. Some of the kids in Sunday school have more faith than you and I do. Because they believe God at his word. They believe what he says. They don't have all the baggage that we do, all the disappointments. They believe. It's something that we're to pursue. It's something that we're to ask about. Something we want. It's one of those things that we say, well, if God knows what we want, why don't he just do it? Because guess what? It doesn't require faith. Hebrews says it's the only way that we please God is through faith. That's how we believe that He exists. We believe that He rewards those who seek Him out. We're to pursue that healing. And it's not just about physical healing. You catch that? What is the instruction? It says, confess your sins to each other. I say, man, I'm broken. I need Jesus. Man, I've been struggling with this lust issue. Or I've been struggling with this porn issue. Or I've been struggling with this unforgiveness issue. Or I've been struggling with just this, why aren't things working out? I'm so angry. And say, I got an issue. I feel like I've got this figured out and it's not happening. That we need to confess those things to our brothers, those relationships that we have, so that we can be healed. Because what we're saying, when we confess stuff, we're saying, I messed up. What I'm doing is wrong. It's going the wrong way. And in that acknowledgement, God gets to come in and heal us and say, you know, I forgive you. I get to restore this right relationship with. And there's a conversation that the Holy Spirit wants to have with you, that this sin is shouting in your ear. You ever been in a room trying to have a conversation with somebody and the music is just blasting? You got to get real close to somebody, or the kids are screaming and the doors are slamming and maybe they're having fun and you can't hear anything. You have to be at a place where that noise is out of the way. And sin is the biggest noise we have in our life to keep us from hearing what God's saying to us. We need to pursue His healing both physically and spiritually. Jesus was a healer. Everywhere He went, people sought Him out to be healed. Jesus was the cup of healing everywhere He went. Matthew 8:16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Him. He didn't go to them. They pursued Him. They said, we want to be healing. And He drove out the spirits with a word, and He healed all the sick. Jesus gives His healing cup to His disciples. Matthew 10, and we read about His, as He develops this team, as he puts a picture about, what is the gospel about? As He prepares for His leaving, He gave power to His disciples. He gave ministry to His disciples in Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In that process, we see that they are looking for those people, that they're offering those things, as you see those things, to pray for people. I think about that the cup we have. Years ago, I don't even remember who I learned it from, but I remember they were to somebody who prayed often. And they, you know, when we hear a prayer request, somebody says, oh, this situation is really tough, you know, this job I'm looking for, this interview I'm going on, or this death in a family, or my marriage, or my kids, and they say, will you pray for me? And you say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you separate. God just touched my heart years ago. When's the best time to pray? Right? Then. You know, and I'm, honestly, I recognize my failings, and so there's two reasons why I pray right then. One reason I pray right then is because God wants to start the work right then. The second reason I pray right then is because I don't want to be a liar. As you go away and you say, all, think about how many days it would take to pray all the things that you said you were going to pray for. So I pray right then. I say, let me pray for you right now. Let me pray in this moment for what you're talking about, because it's fresh in my mind. You just shared it. And as I pray, God's word comes out. God's healing cup is poured out on that situation. As we walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that we're filled up with that cup of healing gets to get poured out on that situation. So those words we speak are God's very words that He wants to speak on top of that, over and through that situation. to bring healing in that moment as they walk away and say, you can just sense, it's like, breathe deep. You know, just out with Satan, in with Jesus. Let go of that stuff. Breathe in God's Holy Spirit. Breathe in His anointing. Breathe in His peace. Those thoughts that don't belong, that discouragement. Jesus gives the healing cup to His disciples. Peter and John are on their way to a prayer meeting. And they've been the way. It talks about going by the Gate Beautiful, one of the seven gates, I believe, of the temple court. And they're walking in and they see this guy. And he's lame from birth. He's sitting, you know, maybe his legs are deformed and he's sitting on a pillow. He's sitting there and he holds out his hand. And he says, will you give me something? And Peter and John said, man, you're asking the wrong guys. He says, we're preachers. We don't have anything for you. What does he say? What does Peter say? In Acts 3, he says, then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Walking and jumping and praising God. You guys remember that song? You probably don't recognize it the way I just did it. It's interesting. This morning, the last couple days. Years ago, I was running across a parking lot to catch a train or something down in the Bay Area. And I stepped off a curb and I rolled my ankle. You guys ever roll your ankle? It hurts. And you limp afterwards. Okay. It got better. Years later, I stepped in like a hole or something and I rolled that same ankle again. And it hurt. I'm thinking, man, this is terrible. I got to do something to get that thing stronger. Well, these last few days, I didn't roll or anything, but in the morning, somebody talked about Snap, Crackle, and Pop, and it's not cereal. I got some Snap, Crackle, and Pop in the morning, and I walk slowly to brush my teeth to the sink, and my ankle's been bugging me worse than ever. And I'm rehearsing this verse this morning. And I start saying, you know what? Jesus, your healing isn't just for other people. Your healing is for me. And I'm saying, Jesus, you know what? I believe you're the healer. I believe that you came and that I'm asking you to fill my cup every day. First thing I wake up on in the morning is I try to figure out what day it is. And usually, I wake up on Sunday morning, and I remember it's Sunday morning. So one of the last things I do is I pray when I go to sleep, God, would you cover my mind? Would you, you know, help me highlight in the chemicals what was important for me to remember about this day and let go of the things that don't matter. And in the morning, I wake up and say, God, thank you for this day. I reach over and tangle legs with my wife, and I say, thank you for my wife, who's so warm and snuggly. And I say, God, would you give me the words to say? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that the very words I speak on Sunday morning are your words? That there are some great preachers out there. There are better preachers, but guess what? God works through His word. God works through every single one of us that trust Him as powerfully as He's working in every church and every message and every Sunday school class that's being spoken today and every Sunday school that's being taught. Because God's divine presence, His Holy Spirit, If he's there, it is the word, the divine word that people need to hear. And so Isaiah was like, okay. And I'm walking across and I'm trying to walk without a limp. And I couldn't. I'm walking and, you know, making sure the program's in there, and I got my message in there, and it's still bugging me. It's feeling a little bit better, but it's not healed. And it's funny, as I read this verse again, I just remembered I prayed that prayer this morning, and my ankle does not hurt. This is the best it has felt in a week. And in fact, Jesus is a healer. Jesus pours out his cup to those who ask, to those who believe. The Bible is the healing cup. God's word is the healing cup. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. God's word is living and active. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. God's healing power keeps us from dying. It keeps us from death. It keeps us from having myopic, closed-in vision with the pain and the suffering and the brokenness that we see in this world, which, by the way, there's just a little of it, isn't there? To saying, God, you are a healer that's able to change this. This brokenness in this world, this brokenness in my life, and this brokenness in my relationships. God, you want to be poured out on those situations. As believers in Jesus, the healing cup of Jesus is in your hand. It's in my hand. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? This gospel is practical. Someone might respond, I don't need divine healing. I don't think it's that important. When do you think healing's important? When you're sick. Divine healing's not that important when you're not the one who's going through it. I think about when I get sick. And I have begun to confess my sin to the Lord when I'm sick. I say, God, would you forgive me for not honoring you and worshiping you when I feel good? That feeling good is good. Saying, God, I can wake up. I can walk today. I can breathe today. God, you're so good. You're so awesome. So that my praise of him is equally honoring when I'm feeling good. Does anybody feel good here today? Can you say praise God? So that it's not just looking to him when we feel crummy. But sometimes I just think, oh man, Lord, touch me, you know, my body. But I want to honor him when I'm feeling well, when I'm feeling good. You know, of course, salvation is the most important thing. When Jesus is Savior, that is why he came, to save us. And salvation is more important than anything. And the reality is healing is temporary. Healing's temporary. God may heal your cold. God may heal my ankle in this moment. But I'm working really hard not to be an old person talking about their pains. But let's just say that I'm a better listener now than I used to be about it. Is the reality, take Lazarus. He got healed of the ultimate sickness, right? He got healed of death. I haven't been healed of death. Guess what? Is Lazarus still with us today? No. He died again. You know, granted, healing is temporary. It's not forever. But I tell you, it is really hard to worship God when you're sick. It is really hard to feel good about your day and your assignments when you feel sick. When we get healed, it's for a purpose. It's a purpose to honor God, to give glory to him and say, God, you're my healer. But it's a healing for a purpose, to serve him, to walk out the kingdom. And I think about Hezekiah in the Old Testament. He was a king, a king who loved the Lord. And he got sick. And he was sad about it. And he was crying. He said, God, man, why are you going to let me die? He says, if I die, I can't worship you. I can't serve you. I've been a faithful king to you. And God sent the prophet Isaiah. Says, you know what? The Lord heard your prayers. And he says, your death, that you were going to die, you're no longer going to die. Because he saw his healing as preventing him from walking out what God called him to do, and God healed him. Sickness doesn't come from God to draw us closer to him. Sickness binds us up from doing and living fully as God intended. You know, don't ever hear that voice that says, oh, you know, and it's true, hard things. I can say, you know what? I know that my growth has only come through hard things. You know, and I'd say, I don't wish any of my hard things on you, but I personally would never undo them. Because who I am today is because of those hard things. But I know God didn't send those hard things so that I would draw close to him. God allowed those things. God wants to walk in the fullness of who we are. Sickness does not come from God. But it's an opportunity for us to trust him and to look to him for our salvation, for our healing, for a perspective. You know, whether it's saying, God, forgive me. I worship you when I feel good. Lord, would you take this from me so I can walk out the fullness of what you intended? Jesus wants to heal us. Luke 5, the question they asked, Lord, a leprous man, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. God is willing and he desires to heal us. If Jesus healed yesterday, if Jesus is the same today, then the church should be preaching and practicing divine healing today. You know, and this is the part that I am convicted about. You know, that does my testimony, who I am as a believer, reflect that? That God wants to heal today, just like he did then. That his Holy Spirit wants to move. Jesus works according to our faith. Where did Jesus do his greatest miracles? Where were the places that he operated and did amazing things? It's where people believed in him. What's the reverse of that? Where did Jesus do the least amount of miracles? Where were what he brought to this world least evident? It was where there was unbelief. Matthew 13:58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. That was in Nazareth and some other places. Going on, we look at Matthew 9, verses 28 to 30. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done. And their sight was restored. There's a healing that's tied into our faith. It's like, what do I believe? I just think even this morning, as I prayed about this ankle, I could have said, you know what? I rolled that ankle. You know, it's just the way it is. It's, you know, it's part of getting old. It's part of me damaging something, you know? Or I could say, you know what? This is keeping me from doing what God's called me to do. It's keeping me from being intentional about relationships and active. God, would you heal my ankle? God, would you give freedom of movement so that I don't have to limp like an old man? Because I'm not an old man. And I think about it, my mom has struggled with cancer, but you wouldn't know it. Years ago, she was diagnosed with a rare blood disease that prevents the bone marrow from manufacturing, I can't remember either red or white blood cells, I think red, and her counts have been slowly diminishing. And in the midst of all that, she gets bladder cancer, and she gets a spot on her back that they noted. And she is a very godly woman. She's 89 years old, and she's still involved in 2 Bible studies a week. She makes phone calls to people, incredibly encouraging. If you've met her, and somebody, she'll be back here, God willing, she might be back here for Easter and visit. She will remember conversations that she had a year or two ago with you. Don't test her, but be surprised. As I know my friends, I was like, your mom's amazing. She remembered me from last time. And she asked me about, you know, how's school going? What happened about this? But I just think, and she loves the Lord. We get on, I am so honored. I call her on the phone, and sometimes she'll call me and say, Scott, I just got to talk to somebody. And she calls me her pastor. I just am like, and she has a good pastor. But I'm just so honored by that. She says, I love talking to you, Scott. I love, because we always end up praying about something, and she prays for me, and she's a way better prayer than I am. I'm always encouraged. But we prayed for healing, and she went back in for a test on that what they saw of cancer beginning to develop in her back, and it was gone. We saw the cancer that she had in her bladder. Yes, they took it out, but it didn't reoccur. She struggled this literally for 20 years. And I'm just thinking, I don't know about you guys. Do you guys imagine how old you're going to make it to? You know, I mean, back in the day, I remember thinking like 40 was off the edge of the planet. You know, and now I'm like, I'm going to be happy if I make it to 80. If I want to be a strong 80, I'm like, I want to be able to do 110% through the finish line. You know, and I know that's like a lot of you, you know, and just take me out of my sleep, God, you know. Take me out when I'm doing something good for you. But I just think about whatever it is. I just think, you know, who knows how many years God has for each one of us. But I know that my mom's healing is according to her faith. It's according to the calling that she has in her life. She knows the assignments she has. She knows those phone calls she needs to make. She knows the people that she needs to pray for. She knows who she needs to open her home up to. According to your faith, what must I do to be healed? First of all, we need to put our faith in Jesus as our Savior. If you and I don't have faith in Jesus to forgive our sins, faith in Jesus to bring redemption to our life, faith to heal us of our brokenness, we're not going to have faith for Him to heal our bodies or heal our minds or heal our circumstances. We need to confess our sin and get on our knees and humble ourselves before God and say, God, would you touch me? Would you save me from myself? Would you save me from my wrong thinking? God, would you take these experiences and not let me be a victim of my circumstances, but redeem them? Be born again. Be born of the Spirit. A new heart, a new life built on the rock, the truth of Jesus Christ. Even if you've gone to church all your life, even if you've taught Sunday school, even if you're on the worship team, get right with God and be filled with His Spirit. That's a relationship thing. And we get to walk out according to your faith. The next thing you need to do is go home and clean house. It's like, what? Go home and clean house. What's in your closet? What are those things that don't belong in your home, in your heart? Those things that don't belong to Christ. Unforgiveness, stubbornness, idols, those things that you're looking to for comfort, for identity. Those priorities that control your life and choices, those things that you look to for comfort, those possessions, people, alcohol, porn. Those things need to be cleaned out. They don't belong. The reality is we're not earning God's healing. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what the Word says. We're not earning God's healing. But if you and I don't have faith in God to cover those things, we're not going to have faith for God to heal us. It doesn't mean we don't want healing. We won't have faith in understanding and walking the truth of who God is. When you trust God with your heart, with your priorities, with your pain, and with your disappointment, and with your failures, you'll trust Him and have the faith in Him to heal you. Lord, here I am. I'm sick. I'm broken. Heal me, Lord. And I'll use my health to serve You. I believe that when we do these things, that we will exercise and put our practice of faith and put our faith in a right position with God under the cup of His healing. When we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior, when we walk out and say, there's some stuff that doesn't belong that I know that we need to walk in. You won't need the pastor, or you need to travel miles to a special church service, or have a faith healer pray over you for your healing. All you'll need to say, Jesus, I come to You, the healer. I come to You with my heart open to You and obedient to You. And I'm confident, God, that You're going to touch me. Sometimes the Lord is like a rushing wind. We talk about, you know, the Holy Spirit when He came Pentecost. You know, fire, man. We're talking like exciting, you know, sweaty hands kind of stuff. Amazing. It's like Jesus come and just slay people, and guys who have a struggle with alcohol immediately. They don't want another drink. They don't want anything to do with it, or smoking, or stuff that's on their computer. They throw that computer out. And other times it's gentle, like a dove, like a still, small voice talking to your heart about what needs to be right, that God heals us. And the greatest thing to know is that, number one, it's the Lord who heals us. It's not our performance. It's not something we earn. It's not something that comes through magical praying a certain way. It's the Lord who heals us, and that we're ready for His touch. We're ready for God to heal us. This is, we talked this morning, we get to practice what we preach. If you are in need of healing this morning, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whether it be a heart, an attitude, whether mind, soul, or spirit, or you've hit a block, I invite you to come forward this morning. There'll be some people that'll be ready to pray for you. We have some incredible oil. It's just oil. It's just a demonstration of the reality of the Holy Spirit. We want to practice what Jesus calls us to. Anoint people with oil that you would be healed. And I know some of you are like, you know what? I got some stuff that's got to get straightened out. There's some house cleaning that has to go on. Maybe there's a phone call that needs to be made that you've been putting off for months. Maybe there's something, an attitude that you need to take to the Lord. You can do that at home, because there's that gentle, that process, but that also can happen here this morning. Is there something? I'm just invite you. Is anybody physical healing? Heart healing? Mind healing? Would you come Is it something we get to pursue? Nobody's going to twist your arm. It's something you say, hey, I need that. I need the God's touch on my heart, on my body, on my mind, on my future. Come forward now. I want to pray for you. Amen. It's not just old people that need healing, by the way. Excuse me. Sorry I said that. I always say, I shoot myself in the foot with comments like that. Why is that? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. See, there's a healing touch. If there's an, I'm good at offending people, not on purpose. It just comes naturally. So I get, we laugh about my wife and I about how we perfectly fit each other for our growth. And then so I thank her for helping me grow, and she thanks me for helping her grow through our difficulties. I'm going to anoint you guys. Joe, would you come up and help me? You can start from that end. We anoint. Is this healing? Who's the healer? Jesus. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we come and pursue your healing touch. We thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord. All the stuff that we have, our brokenness, our... Lord, we come under the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we come under your healing, what you came. God, I just pray, just a, I think it's good. Would you guys hold out your hands? Lord, just a reality of saying, God, there's things that are being identified here that you've laid on the hearts of people here. Lord, and I know that this is just an indication. There's always other stuff going on. Lord, as we recognize and confess you, Lord, God, we pray for your healing power. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would touch minds, you would touch attitudes, you would touch relationships, you would touch bodies. Lord, just think about that. What would the best thing that could come out of every single one of these healings is a testimony of what you've done. When you healed people, you told every single one of those people that got healed, go and give a testimony to what the Lord has done for you. Go and tell people. That's a ministry in itself, Lord, and also just a freedom to walk out your kingdom, not being bound by anger, not being bound by sin, not being bound by hopelessness, but seeing your kingdom and your power come on every single life here. God, we receive your healing this morning. God, I just think about it, the dad who says, God, help my unbelief. Lord, that if we're lacking in belief, God, would you help us to remember a God who redeemed us from hell, a God who redeemed us to clean our soul, a God who brought us into relationship with you. I just pray that this morning, God, that you would remind that your forgiveness, if when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that is, we get to come and receive you, receive that cleansing. Lord, and in that cleansing, there's a healing cup that's being poured out this morning on this church. Lord, there's a healing cup of healing of offenses, of unforgiveness. There's a healing cup on bodies, on nerves that are acting up, on inflammation that's pinching and causing numbness. Lord, on hips that don't work like they should. God, you're healing on backs. Lord, on shoulders. God, your cup is being poured out on relationships. Lord, your cup is being poured out on your perspective. Lord, your cup is being poured out on timidity that comes from Satan, that doesn't come from you. A healing of confidence that is coming from you, Lord, that your kingdom would come. Thank you, Father, for your healing cup. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word made flesh. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus that heals. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to leave. The people that are up here, you're welcome to stay up here. We'll have some folks that would love to pray with you. You'd like to articulate it. But I just pray a blessing on you guys. Lord, as you think about the four-square gospel, that you would think about all the fullness of who Jesus is today. Have a blessed afternoon. You're released.